Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. We are live here in the studio on Facebook. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we're going to talk today about workplace culture, creating it, maintaining it, and why does it even matter? Think about the culture in your place and think about how it helps you make sales, break sales, or doesn't really matter if sales exist.
And we're live on Facebook, so here's what we want. We want your questions, your comments. Just put them in the comment box, like, share us, and we will be—
Wait a minute. If we're live on Facebook, what's the URL?
It's on our Facebook pages. Just search for us.
Jeffrey Gittimer.
Facebook.com.
Oh, it's not on mine?
We're on Facebook.com/ Jeffrey Gittimer.
All right. Well. So just find Jeffrey and click on the link if you're not listening.
I have two Facebook pages. One's a business page and one's a regular page. But Jeffrey Gittimer, all one word, is the Facebook link.
Anyway, if you submit comments or questions, we're going to be reading them throughout the show. So we want to hear from you. Yep. Post them, please.
Yep. And we have to say hello to the man, the Uberman, the super Uberman, behind the screen, the great Doug Branson.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to everyone watching live
on Facebook.
Look
at that shot.
That is so
cool.
Look
at that shot. Wait a second.
He's like the man behind the curtain.
I want to see that shot again. Come on.
Do it again.
Yeah, let's see this.
Oh, my God.
There's Chris, too. There's two men behind the curtain. We never mentioned that. There's Doug and Chris.
Unbelievable. Look at them. Hands on the keyboard.
Oh, no. Our screen's died. Okay.
We're still here.
Oh, so cool.
This is exciting.
I love it.
A reminder to everyone that's watching live on Facebook right now, you can subscribe to our podcast and get every one of our shows in audio form on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Just go on there and search Sell or Die. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
We have some secrets about there may be a potential in a couple weeks of a new website launch. There may be, so don't look now, but you can look in a little while. We've been traveling. We've been to Mexico.
We've been all over.
We've been all the way to Puerto Rico.
D.C.
To Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. We've been to, where the hell else were we? Atlanta. And we're going out to Vegas, and we're going out to California, and we're going to Chicago. Okay, bye. And that's all this week.
Oh, and New York.
Oh, yeah, New York.
Yeah, so we've been up in the air.
Mm-hmm. What else is going on? What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about workplace culture, Jen.
Workplace culture.
I am absolutely enthralled for the fact that workplace culture is finally getting an opportunity to surface here because it plays such an important role in the selling process. But before I do that, let me take a second to introduce you to Owler. I got my Owler shirt.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You can get your Owler shirt. They've crossed the million mark.
Wow.
A million people hang out at Owler to find out about their competition, to find out about things that are happening in their industry, to find out about corporations that they're interested in. For example, two of mine are Apple and American Airlines. I want to find out what's happening in my particular world. Owler tells you about your world. And here's the best part. You sign up for free. You can follow me on Owler and automatically receive my latest sales tips and videos along with insights relevant to your business. So go to Owler, OWLER.com and click on the yellow star to follow me. And it's free. It's totally 100% free, Jenny.
I wake up to Owler every day. I love reading it in my inbox.
Yeah,
it tells me all the news.
She doesn't go to the website. She wakes up, that was a joke.
Okay, so if you want to sponsor our show and have your business or service viewed by the thousands of people that watch this show every week, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com for more information.
So I want to talk about workplace culture, but our first guest is a workplace culture expert. He's a professor, but he's also an author of a new book on, it's called The Crisis of Disengagement.
And I don't know if I mentioned this, but we want your questions and comments about workplace culture, how to build it, how to deal with bad culture. Send them to us on Facebook right now, and we'll read them later in the show.
So let's get into it. It's time to sell or die.
All right, now, it's time for a little game for sales managers and aspiring sales managers out there.
We're going to play a rousing game of tic-tac-toe. Oh, wait.
No, it's called Fire or Fire Up.
Oh, and we even have, I think we have, correct me if I'm wrong, we have graphics that show fire.
Don't give it away.
Okay, I'm sorry. Stay tuned, you guys.
There's no graphics. You didn't hear that.
There's no graphics. There's no surprises coming whatsoever.
All right.
So just maintain your equilibrium.
So here's the deal. Tough decisions have to be made about who can be motivated and who just needs to move on.
Yeah.
So here's how this is going to work. Jeffrey and I have a few scenarios that sales managers run into all the time, and we're going to read them, and then the other person is going to make the call whether or not to fire or fire up.
Yeah. So before we get started, here's a reminder to those listening live. Tell us about your stories in your workplace culture. Tell me why it's screwed up in your company, because every company has at least one or two things that are screwed up with them. We're following right along with you. They can be success or they can be horror stories.
Okay, Jeffrey. You ready for the first one?
No.
Fire?
Oh, wait. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Bob has shown some really good potential, but he spends 60% of his day on social media. In other words, he's a junkie.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah, exactly, Bob.
And worse, he thinks no one knows it.
He thinks nobody knows it. Some of the social media posts could be construed as helpful to his business, but it's mixed with a lot of personal use as well. Would you fire Bob or fire Bob up, Jen?
Well, I wouldn't fire Bob right off the bat. I'll tell you why.
Because I'm a chicken. That's exactly why.
No, because if I have never had a conversation with him about his social media use, and maybe he has a mixed idea in his head what's appropriate and what's not.
So we're going to give Bob a trophy for participation.
I would like to give Bob an opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To get off social media or to stay on social media, but to use it to generate business.
In other words, he's going to sell or die.
That's correct.
Okay.
So I would give him a...
So you're going to fire him up.
I'm going to fire him up.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh. In other words, there was a cue. We had to use the cue.
I forgot.
Okay. We're there now. I think we have it for the next one.
Live TV. We're figuring this thing out.
Okay, cool. If we had our own button to mash, we would be... All right, go ahead. So now I'm going to give you my opinion.
Okay, go
Fire
for
Bob.
It. What?
Fire
have
Bob.
Have you had a conversation about
him? I don't
him?
Care. No, he has a responsibility. When he was hired, he was given a set of things to do. He clearly didn't do them.
But he's showing good potential.
Am I talking here?
We're both talking.
Bob is a slacker. And Bob thinks that he can get away with it. And if he thinks he can get away with it, people are looking over Bob's shoulder and saying, ooh, all Bob does all day is go on social media. They don't let me on social media. They'll kick Bob's ass out the door and everyone will start to pay attention. Period.
All right. I'm going to give you a scenario, Jeffrey. You're the manager of a startup that's about 1 month old and you've hired a small sales staff. One of your reps, Gary, is doing much better than everyone else, but he's making comments about being bored or uninspired. Mm-hmm. Is it time to fire Gary or fire him up?
Well, I'm going to fire him up. Okay, cool. I'm going to fire him up. And here's
I feel
the,
like we should be doing it. Can you do the fire
hold
up
on.
Again? Like we
hold
should
on.
Like,
we just made Doug laugh. This is huge.
Well,
all right.
Technically, I came up with these graphics, so I'm making myself laugh.
I got it. Okay, yeah. I don't want to blame laughter on me.
Thank you for that clarification, Doug.
But here's the deal. The company's a young company. Obviously, his boss is slack. I would fire the boss. because the boss hasn't given Bob
any... You're the manager. You're the boss.
I'll fire myself. But the bottom line is I have to give him a full agenda that occupies his time. If he's bored, that's my fault. He should be making connections in the field. He should be networking. He should be doing things.
Okay, so how do you fire him up?
I just told you.
No.
You give him a full day's agenda and an evening homework assignment. You tell him where to go to meet potential new customers. And I'm not saying you have to fill Bob's day with cold calling, but there are smart things that you can do. Maybe Bob joins the chamber. Maybe Bob goes out and talks to local businesses. Maybe Bob gives a speech at Rotary. But whatever Bob has to do, it's got to occupy 9 hours of an 8-hour day.
Why does one bored or uninspired person matter on a small team like that?
Because it's they like will infection. Spread the board. It's horrible.
It's like the flu. It's domino effect. Everyone's going to get it.
It kills morale.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Bob is a good guy and he's uninspired, imagine how the bad guys are.
Ooh, that's a tweet.
Bingo.
All right. What's next?
Mary has great numbers. One of them, one of your top performers, she's a very engaged employee, but she's lying about time off. It was supposed to be a sick day, but you have a vacation Instagram picture that say otherwise. Is it time to fire Mary, or can you get her fired up?
Mary, I have two words for you.
Yep.
You're fired.
Oh.
Exactly, because, and you can say you're because, then I'll give you mine.
Okay, so if the whole office knows that she was sick.
On vacay, yeah, exactly.
And then they're on her Instagram. They're going to be like, oh, I could do that too.
Exactly.
Or they're going to be uninspired and not want to work with Mary. It's going to affect the workplace culture.
Plus, if you lie to me once, you're going to lie to me 10 times.
I'm never going to trust you if you're going to lie to me.
Over.
You're out. Over. All right, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Pat's your best salesperson. And Pat just stole a lead.
That bastard.
Lead stealer.
Lead stealer. What do you do?
I fire him. And I'm going to... Where's it?
Oh! Cool.
The reason I fire him is because a liar is a liar. And he or she will ruin the morale of the entire sales team. First of all, the person he stole the lead from is pissed off and wants justice. Second of all, the entire team is going to think, well, Bob or Pat steals the lead and he or she can get away with it. Notice how we neutered the gender there. It's Pat. And if he or she can get away with it, then I can get away with it. You have to take anything bad that happens in an office and nip it. Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it. Because if you let it go, it will fester and it will proliferate.
Ooh, good word.
Thank you.
All right. I think that was an SAT word. But anyway, we want to get to Facebook. Hi, Elaine. Elaine wants to know, what if the manager does not know how to fire up his best player?
Then you put a scenario together. It's like the manager has bad breath, but he has bad motivation. So you send the manager an anonymous email from a crazy Gmail account that says, here are the 10 best ways to inspire, motivate, and fire up your sales team. And let him or her see that there are other ways of doing it, and maybe they get the message. If they don't, then you go to their daddy, someone who can fire the person or fire them up. But they have to understand that part of the sales manager's job is to inspire salespeople to make more sales.
But if the manager doesn't know how to fire up their best
sales player, maybe they're not in the right position.
That's a big part of their job. All right, so we have a few other comments here. I just want to get to them. Chi says, hi, Mr. Gunnemer. Love your work. Lots of exclamation points there. Hi, Chi.
You can call me Jeffrey. Bye-bye.
Ben says, I'm at a startup with great pedigree, but not a full deliverable for another 30 to 45 days. Made a few sales so far to quality relationships, but hesitant to leverage more relationships without a complete deliverable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's understandable because your name is on the line.
Right.
It's not just the company name. I totally
get
that, Ben. Yeah.
And come back when it's deliverable.
All right. Rick says, Death Wish Coffee Company, local represent. We love Death Wish. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Ash, great to see the mighty Jeffrey Gittimer on Facebook Live. Oh, the almighty.
Oh, well.
Elaine, thank you. Ben, want to do the next podcast at my house, Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. Hold your breath, Ben. We'll be
that
there.
That wasn't on our list in the beginning of places.
Well, I'll tell you, I
would have
been there, but they
to.
Closed Bill's Barbecue. Why would I have any incentive to go to Richmond? You know
maybe
what I mean?
Ben wants to make you homemade barbecue.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, Ben.
As long as Ben's making the coffee, though, right?
Exactly.
We haven't.
And if you know my
yet.
Buddy, Brucey Greenblatt, who works at the Apple store, tell him I said, hey.
All right. So we're going to move on, but continue to post your comments and questions on Facebook, and we'll make sure to get to them during the show. We're going to talk about now workplace culture, because it's difficult to build and it's even harder to maintain. But it's very easy to lose your handle on it. Last week, Jeffrey spoke with business culture expert Andrew Sherman, whose new book, Crisis of Disengagement, How Apathy, Complacency, and Selfishness Are Destroying Today's Workplace, explores this subject in depth. Andrew is a partner in the Washington, D.C. office of Seyfarth Shaw.
Wait, are you reading this?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a top-rated adjunct professor in the MBA and executive MBA program at the University of Maryland and Georgetown Law School.
He's a college talker.
Oh, yeah.
He's been interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, the New York Times, and Jeffrey Gittimer and Jennifer Gluckow. Let's put our names into that elite list on this very subject. And we're happy to have him on the show today. Now, make sure to keep your comments coming during this interview, and we'll have your answers coming up. Here's Andrew and I on battling complacency and managing an amazing workplace culture. Roll it.
So what's the crisis? Define the crisis for me in a minute or so.
Sure. The crisis breaks down first quantitatively as follows, and that is that basically about 4% of our workforce describe themselves as highly engaged, 25% describe themselves as engaged, and the rest of the numbers describe themselves as either disengaged or highly disengaged.
Wow.
So we've got 4% of our entire workforce describing themselves as actually liking or loving their job. 25% is just sort of getting by, trying to stay below the radar screen, and the rest either being very unhappy at work or so unhappy at work that they're trying to recruit others to be unhappy at work.
Right. That's
gotta,
funny as hell.
That's got to change, or you know, I'm not. I want to be bullish about the future, but we've got to turn this workforce around.
What are the signs of a disengaged sales force? And what can a leader, a sales leader, a sales manager, what can they do about it? How do they find them? And then what can they do about it?
Look, you know, if you did a survey among, say, your top 100 clients and asked the people that are out there on the front lines whether they truly believe in the product or service they're selling, whether they truly believe in the company that they're selling on behalf of, whether they truly believe in the after-sale service and maintenance and training and development, you know, maybe it wouldn't be as small as 4%, but it's probably in the single digits. And, you know, I think it's very, very difficult to sell anything effectively if you don't believe in it, or you don't believe in the company, or you don't believe in the aftermarket or after-sale transactions.
Andrew, even if it's 50%, you're still screwed. I mean, if half my sales force doesn't like what I do or doesn't believe in what I do or what I say or what I'm selling, I have the wrong sales force. How am I going to fix that?
Well, I think first is taking inventory of what's working and what's not. The people, you know, that are the A students, if you will, that are the highly engaged, how do we replicate more of those? Are there any background characteristics or commonalities or similarities in how and why they're engaged? Is there anything that we need to restructure, for example, in the compensation system? You know, one of the things that I always believed was that you just pay people more money. But as I got deeper into the research on the book, I found that there were at least 10 other variables that were more important or purportedly more important to people than money. You know, everything from dignity to peer respect to self-worth to identifying, you know, to identifying with a higher purpose and meaning. You know, I'm not just selling, you know, power drills. I'm selling the tool that empowers people to have a home or to work in an office and, you know, to repair things. I mean, it's, we've lost touch with the larger calling that we're part of, or the products or services that we're selling and the solutions that they create for people.
So should I worry about the bottom line or the sales culture?
I would first say, and this is just my personal philosophy, that if you worry about the sales culture, the bottom line will follow. That numbers follow, they don't lead. And that if the comp system is wrong, the culture is wrong, the leadership is wrong, you know, there's no commission on the planet that will motivate people to do better.
You answered that question correctly. We can continue with this interview.
Okay, thank you. Now so, for $200.
Yeah, for $300. Come on, let's go for $350 an hour. That's what right. You guys charge, isn't it?
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Alex Trebek.
So, how about dealing with the one rotten apple in the core? What do you do with that guy who just doesn't follow the rules, or that woman that just doesn't follow the rules and are potentially talking bad, talking negatively, and disengaging your entire sales force?
Well, you know, thanks to a bunch of variables, including labor and employment law on the employee side, while we should be slow to hire and quick to fire, we've turned into a culture where we're just the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, we hire people too quickly, and then we let the bad apples languish around too much. And these bad apples are really like a cancer, the cancer of complacency, the cancer of apathy will spread throughout the company and throughout
or gossip.
Right. And these days, gossip is empowered by technology. When you and I were kids, we could gossip over the water fountain and maybe someone would hear us, but we didn't have the social media tools to do our airing of the dirty laundry out to thousands and thousands of our followers.
So what does a sales manager do? What do I got to? I have 25 people on my sales team. I have one or two people that I really wish I didn't have. Shouldn't I just go in and summarily fire them?
Absolutely. And by the way, the other 23 want you to fire them.
Yeah.
Are begging for you to fire them. They don't, no one in, you know, the real hope for America is in the 51% that describe themselves as somewhat disengaged. Those are the people that could easily be moved up with the right tools into engaged category or even highly engaged.
Come on. Shouldn't it be the right leadership as well?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't the leader be so engaged that he or she creates a standard and a following that people love to talk positively about and interact positively with in the office and out of the office?
100% right. One of the things that I uncovered in my research is that this is a leadership. It's both a bottom up and a top down problem that, you know, from the bottom up, you got to get rid of those couple of bad apples or they're spread like wildfire. But at the top down, you know, who's going to be engaged if your leader is not? Who's going to love their product or service on the sales force if their leader is, you know, publicly trashing it or trashing it after two bourbons at the office party?
Exactly. So let me throw this at you. Hang on. In your book, you talk about using creativity, correct?
Yes.
And encouraging creativity to make engagement happen. I think I understand why it's important, you know, but tell me why it's so important, because then I have a deeper question to ask you about it.
Well, there's two sides of that statement. One is using creativity to drive engagement. The other is that without engagement, there will be no creativity or innovation. No one who hates their job is tossing and turning at 2 a.m. trying to improve the underlying product or service or customer experience.
I agree 100%. I agree 100% with that. And sometimes the boss is a negative influence. They concentrate more on, quote, making your numbers than they do on helping people make sales.
Exactly. And it's not going to happen. No numbers. And you know what else will happen is even if the numbers are made, you're not going to create customers that are going to come back over and over again for the product and service, because it's a forced transaction. It's a transaction likely to lead to disappointment and more disengagement.
So talk to me about millennials. Are they cause and effect? Are they part of the problem? Or can they be part of the solution? What do you see as people that are email driven and not willing to pick up the phone?
So I have two millennials as kids, 27 and 25.
Wow, you don't look that old.
Oh, yeah, wait, I know.
That's because I can't see you. Okay, go ahead.
That's okay. I've got millennials all around me in my teaching at Maryland and Georgetown, and I've got millennials all around me here at the firm. And I would say that they are a part of the problem, but not all responsible as we baby boomers would like them to think, but they can also very much be part of the solution. I think that they are dying, literally dying, to be engaged at a high level, to be empowered, to be trusted. And they're anxious for that training and mentoring from us, the baby boomers. The problem is we, with an uncertain retirement and wanting to hang on to our jobs as long as we can and a volatile economy, don't want to turn over the reins to the millennials. The millennials will be the bulk of the workforce within 5 to 10 years, and we can either fight that trend or embrace it and get them ready. I think that millennials can be among the most engaged employees in your company, but you have to know how to empower them, and you have to know how to manage them and treat them right. And, you know, the fact that they're coming out of a high technology generation where they won't pick up the phone or don't know how to pick up the phone, or where they're, you know, have some form of ADD, or where they got trophies for coming in seventh place, a lot of that stuff is our fault as their parents, and we've got to turn it around now.
I think that the millennial is dying to be embraced and brought into the circle so that they feel part of the process. That's number one. You can't exclude these people and think you're going to have a happy ending. But I think it's incumbent on leadership to be as technologically advanced as the millennial kid is so that they at least earn a modicum of respect from them.
100% right. The other piece of that is some type of career mapping. Many millennials are anxious to lead and anxious to be empowered, but sometimes too anxious, and they want to skip a few steps to get to where we have arrived.
That's funny. It's only a few now. When I was a kid, we wanted to skip all.
Yeah, well, that's right. So maybe they're doing better than us.
Right.
But, you know, we've got to lay out a map for them that says, hey, you know, at this point, if you keep working hard, you're going to be here. And then the next milestone is here. And then, you know, this is your pathway to get to where you want to be. And I think that's the compromise. Show them the pathway, create a clear pathway. But we can't have anybody, millennial or not, jumping too many steps, or we'll have leaders who are unqualified or, you know, prematurely empowered.
And so which is worse, the disengaged individual or the disengaged team?
Wow. I think it's the disengaged team because, you know, the individual can accomplish certain things and can hold the organization back in certain ways. But if the team is dysfunctional and the team is not aligned, you know, now it's like a heavier weight. It's the weight of 5 or 10 people as opposed to one. And the other problem with the disengaged team is there could be a few engaged people on the disengaged team who slowly become disengaged because everybody else on the team is. It's like you're playing baseball and you're at first base, but you're the only one that's trying hard. At some point, you're just going to give up because your other players aren't doing anything.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an exit swan song that's pretty easy for you. In your book, you give 30 things that you can implement right now to foster, inspire, and sustain engagement. Give me one or two.
So the first one is enough with the ping pong tables and free soda Friday. You know, I mean, you know, I've never seen a ping pong table and a free diet soda cure engagement. It just gives disengaged people something to go do. You know, this is about really deeply looking at the company and its culture and its comp system and dealing, pregnant woman the right maternity policy and support for her to telecommute will count a lot more to keep her engaged
than the ping pong tournament.
Than a ping pong table. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I agree with that. But there is room for fun in the workplace. I mean, you can't deny that the family that plays together stays together.
No, 100% right. But don't confuse fun and engagement. You know, I can eat free pizza on Friday and drink three beers at happy hour and still not be engaged, but I had fun.
Okay, I mean, good.
But that,
okay,
yeah,
I dig it. Give me another one.
Another one is to really take a look that many, many compensation systems are disconnected to the overall strategic objectives of the company. Take a hard look at what message is the way you're paying people sending to your team in ways that might be causing inadvertent disengagement because people feel like they're not being rewarded for the things that are important to the company. And over time, that has both quantitative and qualitative impact.
Okay, so thank you again to Andrew Sherman. It was an engaging, I found the interview engaging anyway. I wanted
great
to find
interview.
Out his point of view on what creates it. I think it was pretty interesting to me that fun doesn't equal engagement. I thought that was a very salient point. You can find his book, The Crisis of Disengagement, How Apathy, Complacency, and Selfishness are Destroying Today's Workplace. And you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever fine books are sold. Where crappy books are sold, you will not find it there. So, Jen, what do you think?
That was a great interview. So, Jeffrey, let's talk a little bit about how to inspire your people and create an amazing culture in the workplace.
Well, the first thing I think you can do is salespeople don't work at a company to make sales for the company. They work at a company to do things and get things for themselves. They have a car payment, they have a tuition payment, they have a family vacation they want to take, whatever it is. And they're not there to be successful for the company. They're not there to win one for the Gipper. They're there to win one for their kids' tuition and for you know, all the things that they want in life. So I think that any company, in order to engage their employees, should teach success, not necessarily sales success at my company with my stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that while most salespeople want to go out and sell on their own and have that personal success, they also want to feel like they're part of a team. And so especially if you're out in the field and you're not working in an office and you're remote, you want to feel a strong connection to the company in order to feel like that culture is
great. Right. Let me
refine
that. They want to feel supported. And sometimes it's support by a team, but it could also be supported by distant learning. For example, if they're in a car for 3 hours going from one customer to the next, they hook on their online learning. They take a lesson while they're going from point A to point B, and they get to the lesson inspired. I did it myself when cassette tapes were cassette tapes.
If you are just asking what a cassette tape is, please write that in the comments because
yeah,
I need
exactly.
to know.
If you don't know what a cassette tape is, then the hell with you. It was before my time. Look, so was World War II, but you heard of that. So I'm looking at this from the perspective of what are you learning? What is inspiring you to get to the next level? And that, to me, creates that environment of inclusion.
Okay, so let's make a list of a few things. So I agree with you. Training and learning is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I would add communication and collaboration. People want to feel supported. They also want to feel like they're a part of a team. So here we use Slack, and it helps everyone communicate and get on the same page. And it's a great tool.
And at our weekly meetings, we have this opener. You know,
an icebreaker.
Yeah, that has been.
That is fun. That's a lot of fun.
It's been an incredible. You learn about the other guy. You learn stuff about the other guy.
Exactly.
Today we learned who got arrested.
A long time ago. Not me.
No,
I swear.
No. Yeah, not me either.
Not me.
Oh, wait. Maybe it was me. But listen, the bottom line is it created engagement. And I think our culture is now a solid culture of sophisticated people that are highly intelligent that also want some camaraderie. I'm leaving it at that.
Yeah, and that increases engagement when you feel that camaraderie and you feel like you're part of a team and you really want to be there.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know if we're going to say hello to our Facebook friends.
We're
let's
not
ask
saying
Doug
hello to anybody
and Chris.
Right now. We're on a mission.
All right, let's keep going. So here's a reminder to our podcast listeners. If you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher or some other podcast app, You want to watch us live on Facebook, and the best way to find out is when we'll be live is to follow us on Twitter, mm-hmm. at Gittimer or at Jen mm-hmm. in a New York Minute, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer and facebook.com/Jen in a New York Minute. We are excited. We have a big
announcement. That sounds so damn exciting to me, Jen. I don't know what to do.
No, I'm going.
We are excited.
All right, we're super excited, and we have a big announcement that the next series of Gittimer Gold webinars is back for 2017. We'll have more information out to everyone soon on how you can get your hands on membership. But until then, we have a clip from one of last year's Gold webinars, and it's a great example of the in-depth real-world sales information you're going to get with Gittimer Gold.
Roll it, Newton.
Take a look.
I'm going to make certain that whomever I have as a salesperson, they're going to be successful. Typically, a sales manager, not you, of course, will tell the new salesperson, hey, you've had a couple of training weeks, a month of training. I want you to work with Bill because Bill has been here for 15 years and Bill knows the ropes and Bill, he's going to take you out and show you what to do. Okay, great. So Monday morning, you hop into Bill's car. And you've had all this great training and you're rip-roaring ready to go. And Bill turns around to you with a cup of coffee and a cigarette and says, let me tell you how things really work around here. And whatever you've said for the past 3 weeks means nothing. Do not work with Bill. Bill doesn't like the boss. Bill's thinking about changing jobs. Bill drinks a lot at night. Bill has his resume posted up on Monster under an assumed name. Don't work with Bill. If you want a salesperson to succeed, you take them out. You make cold calls with them. You make sales with them. And I'm going to give you some other suggestions about how this person needs to learn, but Bill is the worst person he could possibly learn with. So I would say that, just to follow up on my particular thing about not working with Bill, if sales managers would take more personal responsibility for the success of their people, then they wouldn't lose them. That's just my 2 cents worth.
I like it, Jeffrey.
For their $25,000 recruiting process and training process that they take no responsibility for and blame everybody. The guy wasn't any good. It was a bad hire. It was the guy didn't have the really what it took. He didn't know what it took. Dude, you hired him.
Okay, so I just want to remind everyone that that clip came from Gittimer Gold, and you can find the rest of that webinar and all of the 2016 Gittimer Gold series at jeffreygittimer.com/gold. But in 2017, we have this new concept, and it's pretty cool. Let's talk about it for a minute. You are going to do 4 Q&A sessions. So it's an hour-long Q&A where anyone who's a member or signed up can
You have a question. You have an objection. You want me to overcome an objection for you. You can't get an appointment. Somebody says the price is too high. You're getting footballed around by somebody that is lying about the price. Anything you need.
Cool. So there's going to be 4 opportunities, 4 different webinars to ask Jeffrey questions. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be 5 different webinars that you're going to be hosting, right? Mm-hmm.
The first one of which is with Jeb Blount, who most people mispronounce Blount, which I did. And it's going to be on prospecting. I'm not going to tell you what the others are, but I am going to tell you that they are topical, they are timely, and they will put money in your pocket. Blount and I are going to talk about modern day prospecting, what it's all about, and how to do it my way and how to do it his way, and we'll argue our way to do it the best way.
Cool. I like it. And so we'll be giving out more information about Gittimer Gold 2017. All you need to do is follow us on Twitter.
Cool.
Let's head back to Facebook and say hello. We have a question here from Wilson. He says, I'm in the process of developing our sales force. What characteristics should I be looking for to spot a superstar?
You don't spot superstars.
Say that 5 times fast.
Yep. This is what you do. You look for smart people. You look for happy people. You look for self-starting people, and you look for people that have some degree of past history of success. You get those 4 qualities in a human being, and they have the potential. You don't sell them on the job. They either want the job or they don't want the job. and you support them all the way. You encourage them all the way from the first day they're there until the day that you may have to fire them. Because some people just need to be successful someplace else. But if you're looking for a superstar, make one.
Yeah, you can make one, but some are already made, and you have to find them. I mean, they interview, and
okay,
you have
then
to know
there's another way
that
of doing
this is the person to hire, and this is not the person to hire.
Here's another way of doing it. Steal your competitor's best salesperson. That's the easiest. If you want to get a superstar, easy.
I mean, they probably already hate you, the competitor.
You would be amazed at what stealing a competitor's best salesperson does for the morale at your competition.
Okay, so I like to ask the person who's interviewing to sell me on something they're passionate about, something that, whatever it may be. I mean, I'm not like going to the Wolf of Wall Street and asking them to sell me the pen, but on something.
The one of the first Today shows that I can remember that had any kind of substance to it had Zig Ziglar on, who at the time was this master sales guy. And the host, a smart-ass guy, I think it was Tom Brokaw, said, sell me this ashtray. And Zig goes on to talk about all the features and benefits. He didn't really understand, say, how would you use the ashtray. What he said is, this ashtray has 5 holes to put the cigarettes down in, and it's a glass, and it'll last forever. And his time was running out on the show. And Tom Brokaw says, well, I didn't say yes. And as they're going off the air, Ziggler says, yeah, but you didn't say no. And that was like the classic.
I like it.
You know, sell me this thing. All right.
Cool. But you can tell right away when they start to sell you something, if they start with features and benefits, or they start to ask you questions and hear how you would use it.
Yep. So let me ask you a question. What is the best coffee on the planet? And the answer is, it's sitting right here in front of us. It is Death Wish Coffee. And if you're not drinking it, you ain't doing the right thing. Look, they're flying the flag of Death Wish behind us. I'm drinking it right here in my sales caffeine mug. And it is phenomenal. All you have to do, it's got a secret formula. Yeah, it's made out of the best beans on the planet. But you don't care about that. You want to know how it tastes and how it affects you. And the answer is, it tastes great and it affects you like uber great.
Let me tell you a secret. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee.
That's a secret?
Yeah.
All right.
So go get your first bag of the world's best coffee, strongest coffee, most amazing coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
I think that one reason that rookie sales managers fail to establish the right culture is because as a salesperson, it's one of the last things you think about. Just one of the many challenges facing the salesperson turned manager. Oh, now they're assuming that a rookie sales manager used to be a salesperson, that they didn't hire an old school manager out of the, I've been managing salespeople for 31 years. I don't want that guy. He's never tweeted. What I want a sales manager, but there's a secret. Jen's going to explain in this week's edition of Sales in the New York Minute. Take a look at that, and then I got a couple comments.
You're a great salesperson, and all of a sudden, you're promoted from great salesperson to beginner sales manager. Now what? The best thing you can do is call a meeting with your team and announce that you're dropping your title of sales manager and entering your title as sales coach. Your new job is no longer about selling. It's now about helping, communicating, training, encouraging, coaching your salespeople and conditioning them with the right habits and providing them with the right tools for success. Don't think, how can I be a great manager? Rather think, how can I make my people more successful? That's leadership in a New York Minute.
So here's the deal with that, and here's the reason why these young sales managers fail. They went from salesperson to sales manager from Friday to Monday. So here's a reason why all these guys fail. They went from salesperson to sales manager from Friday to Monday. If I were going to put a salesperson of mine in charge of a team, a leadership team, the first thing I would provide them with is 30 days worth of leadership training so they would learn how to be a leader. They would learn the difference between what happens when someone gripes about my leads are bad, or what happens when I can't get along with my coworker, or what happens if they resent me from popping up.
Companies just assume because you're the best salesperson, now you're going to be the best sales manager. Yeah, this guy's got totally different skills.
He's got gumption. He's got moxie. Let's make him a manager. Dude, that guy's going to fail. Or he's going to go home and complain that he doesn't like his job anymore. And I would like to have a dollar for every sales manager who says, can I just go back to selling? I had more fun there. I made more money there. Just my opinion. So, can you go to salesinthenewyorkminute.com? Because if you get there, you're going to get more tips on attitude, more tips on sales, and a lot more from the great Jen Gluckow. What else you got going on at Sales in the New York Minute, Jenny?
Well, I'm creating an online course for LinkedIn.
Okay.
And how to use LinkedIn to make more money, make mm-hmm. more sales, mm-hmm. make mm-hmm. better relationships, mm-hmm. get referrals. And it's going to be awesome. It's coming out soon.
Cool. Well.
Okay, let's go back to Facebook. This is so cool. So I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. But
don't pronounce it.
Katriana
yeah.
says, where can we get a sales caffeine mug in Australia? And here's the cool news, Jeffrey. You cannot right now, but you can soon because we have new sales caffeine mugs coming out.
We are reproducing this amazing mug in a new format, and you will be able to buy one for under $1 million. Australian,
soon,
of course.
Soon, very soon. Yeah. I've seen the designs. They're really cool. I want yeah. one. All right. Graham says, hello from London. Can you be a salesman without the right attitude? And we prefer tea over here, by the way.
Yeah, I'm aware you prefer tea. That's why you
I like those cucumber sandwiches that come with the tea.
Yeah, that's why you call it football instead of soccer. But I think that you have a culture. And the culture in Great Britain is more serious than the culture here. The humor is more dry than it is here. And you have an opportunity. I think if you have a culture that's fun, you'll attract people. I think if you have a culture that is conducive to making sales, you're going to attract people. But let your salespeople post on social media how great you are and how much fun it is to work there.
Yeah, but I don't think you can be a salesman without the right attitude. You can't be a great salesman without the right attitude. You can't be a great employee at all without the right attitude because it's going to affect everything you're doing all day long, and it's going to affect the entire culture in your company.
But let's face it, all over the world, there are cynics. And we have them here. You have them there. You want to tell me that you have 38% cynical and we have 42% cynical or vice versa. I don't really care. Don't hire a cynic. Period. The guy, well, let me tell you about my last boss. He didn't understand me. Great. Neither do I. Out.
Okay.
Well, I think that's kind of a good point about this whole workplace culture thing. It's like not every cynic out there is broke. I mean, there are cynics out there
that have a lot of money that are
successful, but
look at Bill Maher.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is when you're dealing with a team setting, those cynics can turn, your team sour. And then mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if they're making money if your entire team suffers because of it.
I agree.
Yeah, totally.
But I think that there has to be some kind of internal harmony set that says, hey, we kind of get along. We kind of support each other. We kind of respect each other because it's not going to be total. But the more respect you have, the more support you have, the more interactive communication that's positive that you have, the more problem solving that you do together, the better your culture is going to be, plain and simple.
I agree.
So there you go. I hear that we're almost out of time.
We are almost out of time. If you have any sales questions, you can send them over to us at any time at sellordie@gittimer.com, and we'll answer them on the show.
Mm-hmm. And we're almost out of time, it says.
We are still almost out of time. So whether you're watching or listening, thank you for joining us today. And thank you for your comments and your questions. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or whatever you use to get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
So you can follow us or me or Jen on Twitter and Facebook to find out when we're going live next.
Thanks to our guest, Andrew Sherman. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell, even if your ass falls off.